does not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Not easily provoked is the title of our Sunday school message taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. To provoke is to arouse anger or indignation. It describes one who is short-fused. It has the idea to irritate, to cause to be upset. The grammatical context tells us that it is an external provocation that stirs up this anger, perhaps when our expectations are not met. This charity is God-given grace not to be easily offended in the face of provocations. The Apostle James says in James 1, verse 19 to 20, Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. This man of God that shows charity can exercise good self-control over his response to provocation. He is good-tempered. It is not easily irritable. He is righteous or God-honoring in his response to evil. This is often very difficult, but it shows forth a sanctified heart that results in sanctified words and actions. So you see, the Lord shows us by his word to teach us how we ought to behave. And here you would see how the Lord shows us what is good behavior. In a sense, we are not speaking about righteous anger as when our Lord casts the money changers out of the temple, those that sold doves. But here our Lord explained the grounds for his anger, right, that they have made the house of prayer a den of thieves. So Jesus' anger was not a sinful kind of anger, but rather the kind of anger that sins not, taught by the Apostle Paul. There is a righteous anger that does not incur God's wrath. So here, we are not talking about righteous anger, right, as our Lord, when he came to the temple to tell the money changers to get out. Right, he was not wrong, because they were desecrating the house of God, and therefore they did so in order to keep for the sanctity of God's house. And but here what was given in the first part of verse 5 is different. Right? Here we are speaking about being easily provoked to anger. The first covenant home set up by Adam and Eve was devastated when we saw one sibling killing another. Cain killed Abel. You remember, Cain and Abel were the first two children that God gave to Adam and Eve. So on earth, there were only four of them, right? Mother and father and two children. And tragedy came. Right? The Bible says Cain was very wroth or very angry. What happened? If you would perform an open heart surgery to examine the heart of Cain, you will realize that there was a boiling anger that causes Cain to lose his peace, the peace in his heart, to be provoked so much as to take the life of his brother Abel. And so the family life grinds to a standstill. There are also the examples of the hot-tempered spouses by their anger often cause untold miseries to their families. What has gone wrong somehow the knowledge of God's word is not translated into a meaningful change of heart. We give mental consent, but lack an inner conviction to walk with God. So we are easily provoked to take offense with our other half, with our spouses. Somehow the knowledge of God is not translated into a meaningful change of heart. We give a mental assent, but lack an inner conviction to walk with God, to live as a true Christian. What can be done? Unresolved anger has caused many a family to be broken out. We can be provoked out of fear, or perhaps frustration. Perhaps it is hurt, or perhaps we have experienced some injustice. This aspect of God's love teaches us to examine our heart and not let sinful emotions to cause us to lose our peace and to be provoked to wrath. So here you see that this aspect of God's love that God gives to us enables us to surrender ourselves to God and to seek His ways and not allow our selfish anger to ruin our Christian testimony. May we ask the Lord to give us a good temper that we may not be easily provoked but bear this spiritual fruit. Charity is not easily provoked. And charity thinketh no evil. Charity bears no grudges, in other words. The word thinketh is from the root word to count. It's an accounting term, to keep a mental record, to take account, to keep in mind. Right? So, you know, to take mental record is the word that is being used there that is so prevalent, isn't it, in our mental state. But the Lord says charity bears no grudges. And charity enables one not to count the evil suffered from others who have offended us, but is willing to forgive these offenses. To forgive these offenses. Charity does not return evil with good, but rather prepares the heart to return good with evil. This is the supernatural love of God in action. God does not require us, right, or God requires us, right, to return evil with good and not good with evil. And so it is beyond the comprehension of the carnal man, and it enabled the Lord to pray for his persecutors and to not to hold against them. And this was also what was described in the life of Moses. You remember in that incident with Phinehas and the Canaanitish woman coming into the camp, what they did was that they quickly prayed to the Lord to seek that the Lord's wrath may not come upon the people of God, because the wrath was coming and everyone is going to be killed. And, you know, it is a different spirit that he had. You know, we say that if Moses hadn't spent 40 years in the backside of the desert, right, tending to sheep, he wouldn't have that cultivation to be able to handle 2 million Israelites daily poking, provoking, you know. How could he? And still pray for them. How difficult it is. Well, the Lord described how he was the meekest man on earth. So this is the fruit of the Spirit that is being described here. How the Lord prepares his servant. How Moses was prepared. And yet you see that even that, you see that a mortal man a mortal man, right, cannot handle. We need God and His Spirit to fill us, to have a different spirit, the Spirit of God, in order to overcome, isn't it, these provocations that comes to us. And how do we handle it? Well, it is indeed to understand, right, what is the right thing to do, and to seek the Lord for His grace, so that we would be able to, by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us, God's love that comes to us, enables us to change, to overcome, and to realize. So, you know, it's not a one-day process, isn't it? So, you realize that the battle of the spirit against the flesh, it takes time, and we learn our lessons. It takes time for us to learn, then we grow. Sometimes we fail again, but we realize, then we come back again to the Lord. And that's how the Lord teaches His people. Right? So here you see that charity enables one not to count evil suffered from others who have offended us, and is willing to forgive these offenses. Our Lord says on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen, the first martyr, uttered these words to the same effect. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They were stoning him, but he was not angry with them. He was not angry with them. Have you been offended in some way and still harboring hatred in your heart? Our meditation instructs us to be rid of such evil thoughts. This phrase, thinketh no evil, has a sense of a continuous action. Continuous action. It must be a lifestyle of God's people not to count offenses at all times. Because if you do so, you realize that your heart is always in turmoil, isn't it? This person provoked me and I'm angry. And that person, I'm angry. And, you know, how many angry persons you are able to handle in your heart? A little heart. Cannot put in so many, right? So here the Lord shows us and teaches us how, by this continuous action, it must be the lifestyle of God's children not to count offenses at all times. It must become a habit in our life to forgive those who offend us. That is why you see in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses, is right in the middle of the Lord's Prayer in chapter 5. But it is also repeated again at the end of the prayer. You go there and see, you see that it's repeated twice. Why was it repeated twice? Well, because it is a center, it's important, but it's repeated again for us to be reminded, isn't it? How we need this grace to be in our lives, so that our life will be different, isn't it? So that we would not feel so miserable all the time. Right. We are to do so ourselves. Others cannot forgive on our behalf. You may say that it is impossible. Dear brethren, realize that this is the work of God's grace. We need to pray and ask Him for strength to overcome any hatred and bitterness in our hearts as a result of unjust situations where we are the victim. Indeed, this ability comes from a heart that trusts in the justice of God and His sovereign power to make right the wrongs of His people that they have suffered. So if we truly believe that God is just, and that is infinite, eternal, unchangeable in His justice, and that He would vindicate us, then we can rest in Him. We realize that when we are able to forgive, God's peace and joy resides with us. That is the shortness of memory when it comes to offenses inflicted upon us. There is indeed calls to take stock to the responses of our heart whenever we want to retaliate with evil. We need to acknowledge that it is wrong and need to repent and have a renewed faith and obedience by the power of the God's grace to trust God to work things out without taking vengeance into our own hands. Remember Joseph's life in the book of Genesis that accounts for us how Joseph was treated unfairly, falsely accused, misjudged for the most part of his youth and youthful and adult life. He did not exact vengeance upon his brothers, but decided to forgive the evil that they have done to him and not make them pay for the unkind deeds done to him that wrecked his youth. So, his best years gone. Remember what he said in Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is today, to save. Remember Joseph's life in the book of Genesis that accounts for us, that shows us how he was unfairly, falsely accused, misjudged. Well, the Lord was with him, and the Lord helped him. He experienced the faithfulness of God, healing in many of the heartaches that he suffered at the hand of his jealous brothers who sold him into Egypt. There is the account of David in 1 Samuel 25, who decided to take matters into his own hands to deal harshly with the man called Nabal. You remember? He was taking care, he and his men were taking care of Nabal's cattle, protecting it. But Nabal, when they needed some help with their subsistence, Nabal did not adequately compensate his men for the good that they had done to care for Nabal's flock. Abigail, Nabal's wife, intervened to stop David from committing folly in seeking vengeance to kill Nabal and his men. David hearkened to the counsel of Abigail to let God be the judge. God smote Nabal and he died. It was the will of God that Nabal is judged. Although David and his men suffered, they did restrain themselves from doing evil. God vindicated them at the end. Charity bears no grudges, but is forgiving and generous in heart. May the Lord help us to bear this spiritual fruit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Strengthen thy people. Grant us thy grace to follow thee and to bear the spiritual fruit that we may be not easily provoked and that we may not seek our own. That we may indeed walk with thee for thy own name's sake. Hear our prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.